My number, our legend of the game coming up, Gary the Whiz Freeman.
Julie Bishop has denied reports that the US has delayed interviews with detainees on Nauru amid lingering uncertainty over whether America will honour a refugee settlement deal. Detainees applying to settle in America under the deal have reportedly had their planned second round interview dates with US officials postponed indefinitely. But Ms. Bishop told reporters in Western Australia that she understood interviewing and vetting was still taking place. A David and Goliath battle is brewing between Foxtel and people who live-streamed a boxing bout between Anthony Mundine and Danny Green on Facebook. Foxtel says it will take legal action against people who live-streamed the fight through the social media site on Friday night, with hundreds of thousands of people tuning in. But media expert Michael Fraser has told the ABC companies like Facebook should be doing more.
Take more responsibility in ensuring that their customers have a lawful environment in which to enjoy content.
He says Facebook should be doing more to educate its users to respect copyright. Firefighters are continuing to monitor a grass fire that raged through 111 hectares of grassland in Melbourne's northwest, threatening homes. The fire in Buller and Diggers Rest was downgraded to an advice warning last night after an emergency warning earlier in the day for people to evacuate. Two massive air crane helicopters and two smaller choppers were used to attack the fire from the air, while 34 trucks and 150 firefighters worked on the ground. A man has taken himself to hospital with a pellet lodged in his forehead after two separate air rifle shootings on the New South Wales south coast. The 65-year-old felt the impact of the shot while walking at Killala Bay on Friday night, and when he went to Shoalhaven Hospital, medics found a small pellet embedded in his forehead. Less than an hour later, a 51-year-old man living nearby was struck by a pellet in the groin when he went to investigate noises outside his home. He told police he saw two males and followed them to nearby bushland when he was shot. Acting Inspector Paul Hoyer said police were very concerned by the shootings given the potential for harm. Overseas, the communist government in Vietnam has announced it will lift a ban on some forms of gambling after debating the issue for almost two decades. The BBC's Michael Bristow reports.
There are millions keen for a flutter in Vietnam who until now have been forced to use underground gambling dens or illegal online sites. Many in the country's communist leadership consider gambling a social evil and have resisted making the pastime legal. Now, though, they've relented, allowing bets to be placed on international football matches and horse and greyhound races. But there are restrictions. Gamblers will have to be at least 21 and will be limited to betting a maximum of $44 a day.
And the Louvre in Paris has reopened to the public less than 24 hours after a machete-wielding assailant was shot by soldiers. The attacker, who was an Egyptian national, was shot four times after slightly injuring a soldier patrolling the underground mall. But the attacker's injuries are no longer life-threatening, according to the Paris prosecutor's office. This is Air News. Usain Bolt has led his All-Stars team to victory on the opening night of the Nitro Athletics Series at Albert Park. He ran the second leg of the mixed 4x100m relay and says it was great to see a huge crowd at Lakeside Stadium.
They came out and they supported, and that's the key thing. And I'm urging more people to come out on Thursday and Saturday at the end. Just come out and support, because it's a great event. As I said, it's the first time, so we'll find kinks that we need to better, and it's a good start for me.
Australia's all-conquering women's side admits they need to better deal with high expectations after a disappointing Sydney Rugby Sevens campaign. The reigning Olympic and world champions finished fourth in their homecoming from last year's Rio Games, losing their last two matches at Allianz Stadium yesterday. The hosts were upset in a tight semi-final by tournament winners Canada before being humbled 19-0 by New Zealand in their third-place playoff. The United States were runners-up. The Western Sydney Wanderers' lacklustre A-League season has sparked into life with an emphatic 3-1 win over Wellington Phoenix yesterday. There were also wins for Melbourne Victory and Perth Glory. And Australian cyclist Damien Howson has survived crash chaos at the end of Stage 3 to retain his Herald Sun Tour lead. All eyes will now be on Howson and three-time Tour de France winner Chris Froome in today's hilly last stage at Kinglake north of Melbourne. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Oz Design Furniture's Australia Day sale has been extended. Save 25% on all furniture and homewares. Ends tomorrow, in-store or online at ozdesignfurniture.com.au. Moore Park, roads approaching Allianz Stadium will be affected by the Rugby Sevens World Series Day 3 today. Special event clearways already in place. Most of the majors are moving well right now. M2, Gore Hill and Warringah freeways incident-free, and approaches to the Harbour Bridge are smooth, citybound and northbound. Want more energy, more confidence and more motivation? Michelle Bridges' 12-week body transformation will help you lose weight and get fit. Join now at 12wbt.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot. Partly cloudy, but hot. 20% chance of a shower, but hot.
You get the message across that way, I suppose.
Light winds becoming northwesterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the morning, and then turning northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the late morning and afternoon. Partly cloudy, hot, 38 degrees. Now, Raymond, what about Maryland? And let's go south, Maruya.
Weather currently in Maryland is 28 degrees, heading for a top of 39 out west. Oh. Now, Maruya, currently 23 degrees. Chance of an afternoon shower, heading for a top of 35 in Maruya today.
Lano, what are you doing?
Mum, I'm putting the aircon on.
Which one?
Mitsubishi, LG, Panasonic, Fujitsu.
All of them?
It's a big store. At Bingley, we've got all the latest air conditioners, so come in before it gets any hotter. Outside. I'm Lionel Lee.
Ooh, I'm Yandali. Come and meet our team.
Hi, this is Greg Radley inviting you to join me on the trip of a lifetime with Ambassador Travel. The Kentucky Derby run at Churchill Downs should be on everyone's bucket list. We'll spend time in Los Angeles, Las Vegas and Lexington, the famous bluegrass region of Kentucky. Peter Harney and the team at Ambassador will look after your every need. Go to the website ambassadortravel.com.au or call 1-800-777-989. 1-800-777-989. See you at the Kentucky Derby.
We're getting ready.
Gonna look out west.
Everyone's on their way
to the championship.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The country championships are coming to Goulburn.
Come on, come on, come on.
More than horses and fashion. It's a cool hip way to play.
So come on, get down. See the best horses around.
The championships. Goulburn, Saturday, February 18th.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. It's the final hour. We're right up until 9 o'clock with the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We're looking forward to this hour. Our legend of the game is Gary the Whiz Freeman, and the great New Zealand rugby league player. Looking forward to having a chat with him. We'll have a chat with Nick Quinn, Harry Conway, a New South Wales young Sheffield Shield player on the back of their innings and 77-run victory over the Bush Rangers, the Victorians. We love that. Dick Fain will go through Super Bowl 51 for us as well, find ourselves a winner. But really looking forward to our next guest, Raymond, because had the great pleasure of playing Gary the Whiz Freeman.
Ex-teammate of yours.
At the Roosters, and the one thing that characterised his play at all times was how competitive that he was on every single play. He's our legend of the game. He's also a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit. He's an Auckland Rugby League immortal, and he's a New Zealand Rugby League legend of league, and he's out legend of the game today, Gary the Wiz Freeman. Hello, Wiz.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good morning, Gary.
I was really going to say, Ray, please stop. But keep going, Jim. I thought you missed a couple of things there.
Oh, sorry, I might have missed any. Tell us, Wiz, Northcote Tigers, Castleford Tigers, yep. Balmain Tigers. There's an affection for Tigers in the start of your career.
Mate, I was quite lucky that I went to the Northcote Tigers in Auckland and got an opportunity there to play first grade. And then there was a few boys that were travelling overseas, and I actually went to a club called Kent Invicta. And a guy that I was playing with called Steve Lane, an English guy, he said, look, I think you can go a little bit better than this, go up to Castleford. And under the guidance of Malcolm Reilly, it was pretty scary the way that we actually trained on Friday night. But I worked out why. A lot of the boys actually did like a bit of a drink after training, and then Mark would keep us out to about 9 o'clock and try and make sure that they actually got home to an early stage. But good introduction to meet a bloke like Malcolm Reilly, and then he went on to coach England and got to play against him there, you know, as he was coaching, and then got this great opportunity to come to Australia, mate, and it was a lifelong dream as a young bloke to play in that. And I was lucky enough to do, I think, 9 years. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, Gary, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Fantastic rugby league career. And the question I wanted to ask as a young boy growing up in New Zealand, I'm glad you chose rugby league, but an All Black and playing rugby union, that wasn't a consideration for Gary Freeman as a young boy growing up?
Well, the funny part is, mate, I actually got told by a school teacher while I was playing rugby for the school, and he grabbed me and said, mate, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah, of course. And he said, have you actually thought about taking up another sport? I said, oh, why is that, mate? He goes, I thought I was going, okay, no, you're terrible at this.
Oh, really?
I went, okay, well, I think I might just try. And at that stage, then, New Zealand had the wait for age, still do. Mm-hmm. And I played a few lower grades because of my sheer size that I had back then when I was a young guy. Yeah. And rugby league, and I started playing, and I never looked back, mate. Mm.
I said it a bit earlier, Gary, and you probably don't remember it, but I remember it vividly. We were up at the Eastern Suburbs Leagues Club after a game, and my late father was there in your company. We were having a chat, and you said a little anecdote about how you made one of your hardest training sessions on Christmas Day, and I thoroughly believe it. You were so competitive. Do you know where the competitiveness comes from, Wiz?
I think what actually happened, I thought I trained really hard in New Zealand, but then when I come to this Balmain side, they were crazy. Les Hobbs was the trainer, Junior was out in front, Neil, all these guys, they all strive to be the best, and Les Hobbs was just probably one of the hardest trainers I had. And I think the first run we did that, could you run?
Yeah.
Well, I come and laugh. And even Blocker, I think, beat me, and Big Zero. And I just thought to myself, I can't compete unless I do better. So I went back and ran that run for probably about a month by myself. I didn't tell anyone. Stood up on the Sunday, just kept on going. And then I thought to myself, well, I got myself in a position where I actually could compete. Yep. And then when it came to Christmas Day, I was actually just talking to a friend last night. I actually ran from Kings Langley to Glenhaven Christmas Day because I thought it'd just be a quick, easy 30-minute run, but it was about an hour and a half later. I was still going. But I thought I always tried to do something that other players weren't going to do. Yeah. And I think that on Christmas Day, it's easy to get up and just sit there and do nothing, have a few beers, which I do love, don't get me wrong. And I'd have a few after the run, but I always make sure that I did something pretty tough on Christmas Day to make myself aware that I still haven't achieved what I wanted to achieve.
That's interesting. And Gary, you mentioned earlier that it was always your ambition to come to Sydney and play in the NRL, etc. And you joined the Tigers, the Balmain Tigers, then in 1988.
You played
through to 91 there, 2 years at the Roosters, another two at Penrith, and another year at Parramatta. So you played with four of the great clubs, but you joined the Tigers in an era when they made successive grand finals in 88 and 89. I guess the question you must get asked all the time, Gary, is, was 89 the one that got away for you?
Oh, without doubt. Mm. I think if everyone goes back and looks at that game, it clearly shows where we probably could have scored another two or three tries and we just made some errors. I know the Canberra boys would probably be saying, oh, we knew we were going to win the game, but they've got to remember they were down 12-2 at half-time and a few penalties did go astray. I'd still remind Bill Harrigan that he actually put his hand up the wrong way and Nowadays you can use players as shepherds and all the rest of us, Bruce McGuire, but look, in the end, it wasn't Warren, mate. We just made too many errors at the end of the day and didn't get the game. But look, it was great to be involved in that. The first one was fantastic, but the second one I thought that without doubt we probably should have won. But look, history shows, mate. You read the record books. We didn't win. That was clear and simple.
Mm. What about the '88 grand final? I mean, that was a brutal grand final with two outstanding forward packs. Wiz, and the loss of Ellery Hanley was such a big factor in that one. What was it like? Because he was almost like a Jared Hayne type situation in 2009, where he just set alight the competition at the back end of it. What was it like playing with someone like the Pearl?
Well, mate, the thing about him, he just turned something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you gave him the ball, and a couple of times he made a break in that grand final when he was on the field, and then he would just automatically, you know, everyone just chased him. And I think I played against him in the Test Series in 88, then he came to Balmain, and just knew he had that aura about him that, you know, he was something special in the game, and he was super, super strong. You know, the one thing about Ellery, he was like me. He wasn't a very good swimmer, so we used to run together all the time. So when all the boys were doing their swimming, we used to do running. He said he had a sore eye. I just said, look, I can't swim. My nickname was The Rock for swimming, so it was better that I actually did run and not swim. But, you know, he just sort of like brought that professionalism about the team at the same time, and he had that willingness to win, mate, and that's what I loved about him.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking of when Jimmy told me he was going to get you on, Gary, was you played through in your career an era of fantastic halfbacks. Just top of my head,
awesome.
Mortimer, Alexander, Sterling, Lamb, Langer, Ricky Stewart, each and every week, and you held your own each and every week. And Jimmy was telling me earlier about your competitive spirit, and I guess you had to be when you're playing at that sort of level, Gary.
Mate, what I tried to do was work out what they had and then go, right, now what I need to do to try and stop them. And to me, it was a one-on-one situation. If they had a great game, then I didn't do my job. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that Ricky or Alfie would always get that pass from the scrum base, pass it, get to the next play, set something up. So I always make sure I used to tackle him. And, Ricky used to blow up deluxe. Like, he'd be yelling at me. I can't say what he used to say on the radio. Unless we can beep in the 7 seconds.
But, no, we can't win.
But other little things that you tackle, you run away and I'll see you at the next scrum and you'd be chatting. I just couldn't imagine what was said back then if you had mics now, back then. But now, mate, we wouldn't have survived.
Was there a first among equals amongst those players that Ray mentioned? Was there someone that you knew when you played him you had to be at your competitive best?
Look, I thought Alfie was up there.
Yeah.
Tell you one guy you didn't mention, Des Hasler.
Des Hasler, yeah.
Because he was such a competitor.
Yeah.
And he would chase to the death, mate. He was unbelievable. Yeah. And that's the way he coaches, you know, with that intensity and that. He doesn't say too much off the field nowadays, but he is one guy that I used to love playing against because you knew you were in for a real big battle. Mm. Ricky was fantastic to play against. He always had a few good words to say to me. About where I come from and all the rest of it. But, look, I really enjoyed all the guys I played against. I don't know, boys, if they actually enjoyed playing against me because I probably terrorised a few of them. But I just love going out every week and competing and making sure that I played my best. And hopefully that's what I did.
Yeah, you certainly did that. On a similar theme then, Gary, and it's probably a difficult question for you to answer, the best players you played with and against?
Oh, mate, you know what? I get asked this question, like, when I was playing and when I retired, and there are so many great players that I was lucky enough to play with, and so many great players I'm lucky to play against. And all the Aussie sides, when you look back at those Aussie sides, were so
golden era.
They were fantastic. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and pick one out of each because I play with so many great Kiwi players too, you know, like the Kurt Sorensens, the Mark Grahams, Hugh McGarns, and all those Elsa Filipanas that I started my career with. And then you played against the Wallies and all the rest of it, and the Alfies and the Ricky Stewart. So, mate, I think I was blessed to play in such a great era.
Yeah.
And, look, I still love watching the game. I think it's fantastic. But I don't know if I can just pick one out of the bag that I can
That's
say.
Fair enough,
the
yeah.
What about your own form? 1992, you win the Dally M award. Do you think that was the best football that you played?
I think it was the most controlled football I played,
right.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting part about that whole situation about going to the Roosters under Jack and Mark Murray, was that Jack didn't really want to sign me. It was really Craig Salvatore that got me to the club, and forever grateful to the big fella too. Yeah. And I just said to Jack, look, just give me a crack. And then to Mark, I said, look, just give me a crack and I won't let you down. He said, I still remember to this day Jack saying, I'm not too sure if you will fit in. Mm. And I went, what do you mean? He goes, you just, mate, give away too many penalties, blah, 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 blah. And he went through the whole thing. I said, mate, trust me, I can play. And then the rest is history, mate. So I was fortunate that they gave me a crack, because when I left Balmain, I really didn't have a club to go to. So I actually tore up my contract myself. I said, look, you guys keep it. I don't want any money. I'm going. I've had enough.
And a couple of years at Roosters and a couple of years at the Panthers too. I remember you when I was living out there playing Penrith Park on a Sunday afternoon. Did you enjoy your time out in the Panthers, Gary?
Mate, I did, buddy. I did, right? Because I think that they were going through some tough times.
Yep.
Being a senior player with their young guys coming through, the way they were training or the way they had to train, there's certain things they had to do a little bit differently. But again, they were a good bunch of blokes, and you know, Johnny Cartwright and Brandy were out there, and Trevor Gilmeister. So again, I was quite blessed that when I went to a club like that, I played with some real good players. So and good young guys coming through, the Girdlers and the Adamsons and all that sort of stuff.
What about, let's go to the international scene, because your career with New Zealand is just incredible. 45 matches, test matches.
What is it about Kiwis putting on the Kiwi jump when they play Australia?
That's exactly right. It's amazing. Club form goes out the window, Wiz, but and you guys held your own there, where you didn't have a team in the elite competition, well, what we see as the elite competition with the Warriors. But what was it about playing for New Zealand that became so special for certain individuals?
Well, I always think that all the players had the ability. But you've got to remember, back then, guys were playing in England, playing in the local league in New Zealand. If they were good enough, they got picked, you know, because I think in total there was about 7, maybe 10 players in the Winfield Cup back then.
Yeah.
And then when I got picked out of the local comp, that's why we had to train so hard, because we had to compete. And then once you got it, you understood what level you had to get to. But I think like guys like Olsen or that, he got into an environment that he just loved his footy. You know, the pressure was off. He just had to go out there and play. Everyone knew what he was going to do. And, you know, you've got to have, I strongly believe, you've got to have coaches that believe in you and trust you that you will play your best football. And that's how you get the best out of players.
Yeah, good point. You mentioned coaching there, Gary. You had a couple of years coaching the Kiwi team. Did you enjoy that?
Mate, I loved it. But I think when we drew the test series in England, you've got to remember, when I took the Kiwi side over, they'd just be beaten 52-0. Right, so then I go into the first ever test match, and we played France, and the boys were a bit rusty. Then we play Australia at the end of the year. I think we got beat 24-12. So to me, a massive improvement. Yep. 7 new faces come into the squad. Then the following year, I think with 5 minutes to go, they scored the winning try. But I think going to England showed me that we lost, I think, 12 players on the way through injury and clubs calling them back and all the rest of it. So I loved it, mate, because you saw a different side of the players, and from a player to a coach, what I think used to work and then what they believed was working, trying to mix that together was an interesting task. But look, I loved it, and I think I was cut a bit short, if I can say that. Mm-hmm. New Zealand Rugby League mightn't think so, but I do, because I think we'd turned things around, and there was a young...
Team coming through.
And it was Stacey and all the rest of the boys. So I think that they went on a couple of times and beat Australia. The following year, they actually beat Australia, which I knew they would do, because I just knew they were building for something special.
Yeah, exactly. What about after the Four Nations late last year? Where's New Zealand Rugby League at the moment, Gary?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, lads, because I make sure I got up and watched every game. You know, I think David Kidwell's in a similar position to I was. He's got players that are coming that he has to make some hard decisions about whether they're in the side or out the side, and how what style of play they play. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing about getting players from certain clubs. They have a certain style, and you're going to try and not overcoach them, but not undercoach them, but you're going to encourage them to play their best football. You know, so, because they wouldn't be there if they couldn't play number one. And then they've got a certain ability, number two. So number three, what are you going to do? You know, it's more working with them individually than as a team sometimes. So yeah. I think that they need to pick up their game this year, without doubt. And I think they will do that, mate. I think Dave will do a fantastic job, and I wish him all the best, mate. But it's hard. You're in control of the team, and it's for the country, and you're playing for your country. You're not playing for a local team now, mate. And that's what I try to stress to the boys. This is not a normal game.
Yeah.
And if you say that it's a normal game playing a test match, mate, you shouldn't be out there.
You're around the footy a bit now. Your young bloke Chris has been playing. He's been at Melbourne, up at Newcastle as well. How's he going?
Oh, mate, he's going okay, mate. He had a first trial last night there at the Capras, but yeah, a little bit unlucky with a few injuries. So hopefully he can have a touch with a pretty good season this year, mate. The young guys.
Mm-hmm. Is he as competitive as you, Wiz?
He's 100%.
There you go.
And the other thing about it, he actually can't kick a ball. I could never really kick a ball, but he kicked goals and all that. So I'm just going, what's going on here? So he must have got that from his mother.
Yeah, well, if he had your niggle, I'll never forget the time I was in a tackle with Gary Freeman and Ben Elias, and the squirrel grip came out, and unfortunately, you got the wrong bloke.
but you know, the funny part about those days when I went back to play Balmain, Jim, I'm not too sure you play, but I scored two tries, but just to bring that up anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just because you didn't remember that part.
Sorry, Gary.
Right. But yeah, like, I've got a tape of what Zero was saying to me, and it's just beautiful. Like, you remember saying this to me? I want your teammate now. Oh, no. Look, they were great days. Had an absolute ball in this competition, and hopefully, like you said, Jim, you remembered all for the good things that you did. Got in a bit of trouble here and there, but most of it's all pretty good.
No, exactly.
Fantastic,
right.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, Wiz, great to have you on, mate. As always.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks
good
so much, Gary.
Have a great day. Yeah, there he is, our legend of the game, Gary the Wiz Freeman.
And we do tend to forget that era he came through. It would have been tough, and he held his own, didn't he, Jim, against some of the best halfbacks you'll ever see.
It's funny, he recognised his limitations, passing game and running game and all that, didn't matter.
Just competitive streak.
He reminds me of a Tommy Raudonikis.
Yep.
Tommy Raudonikis, he was that type of player. Not the dashing, brilliant, skillful,
hard competitor who would hold his own and make his teammate or make its opposition player earn everything. He was just a terrific competitor, wasn't he?
That's Gary Freeman to a T. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. We've got Harry Conway coming up and Dick Fain talking about Super Bowl 51.
Summer Harness Racing on Sky Sports Radio brings out the very best. Reigning champions do battle against the rising stars as we count down to Miracle Mile Day on February 25. Every Tuesday morning at 10:30, On the Pace has all the key players passing on vital information for the week ahead. The best in harness racing is on Sky Sports Radio. You can't help but love the Super Bowl, and this year we've designed plenty of winning plays. Right now, we've got a stack of great odds available across a wide range of markets, including head-to-head, line, margin, and first score type. And to help you avoid any third and long situations, check out our expert analysis and tips online or on the Tab app. Get on the big game now on the Tab app, tab.com.au, or head into your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Day two of the Auckland Nines about to begin with the Sharks and the Bulldogs at 8:35, the Titans and Panthers at 9, and then Manly versus Para at 9:25, and so it goes on. Quarterfinals begin this morning at 11:55, the semis at 2:40, and the final this afternoon at 4:40. Matches at the Sydney Sevens rugby last night. Winners were Fiji, Kenya, England. New Zealand 14 beat Scotland 7, and Australia had a comprehensive 26-7 win over PNG. The women's tournament wrapped up with Canada taking the gold medal, defeating the United States 21-17. The bronze medal match was between the number one and number two seeds, that's New Zealand and Australia. The Black Ferns led 5-0 at half time, then went on to win 19-0. Western Sydney produced a much-needed win in the A-League game last night, defeating Wellington in Wellington 3-1. The win puts the Wanderers in the top six for the first time since round nine. At Etihad, the local derby Melbourne Victory 2 beat Melbourne City 1, and in the late game Perth 3-2 over Newcastle. Today, the Central Coast host Adelaide. The first ever Nitro Athletics series began last night at Lakeside Stadium in Melbourne. Billed as the Athletics version of cricket's T20, Usain Bolt provided the razzmatazz with some great athletic competitions as well. It drew an almost sell-out crowd. In the six-team event, the Bolt All-Stars won the night. Australia claimed second. It continues on Thursday night, concludes on Saturday night, and Bolt is committed to compete in all three nights of the event. A tough loss for Sydney in the NBL last night, going down to arch-rivals Melbourne United, 89-76. The match was played in front of over 11,000 people, which was the biggest standalone crowd this century. Brad Newley made a successful return. He top-scored with 19. However, Andrew Gaze, the coach, said they were simply outplayed. He added that they are not out of it just yet. It's a must-win against Perth in Perth on Friday night. In the earlier game, and not helping the Kings' cause, New Zealand beat Adelaide 88-87. Women's AFL last night, an easy win for Adelaide over GWS 48-12, while the Western Bulldogs beat Fremantle 44-12. England overcame a disjointed first half to come from behind and get their Six Nations rugby title defence off to a winning start. They beat France 19-16. Scotland 27 beat Ireland 22. Italy and Wales tonight. Meantime, a plethora of English Premier League overnight. Chelsea 3 beat Arsenal 1. Crystal Palace 0. Sunderland 4. Everton 6. Bournemouth 3. Hull 2-0 over Liverpool. Southampton 1. West Ham 3. Watford 2. Burnley 1. West Brom 1. Stoke 0. Tottenham 1, Middlesbrough 0. The reverse singles in the Davis Cup tie between Australia and the Czech Republic get underway later this morning. The Aussies did wrap up the tie yesterday 3-love, and they'll go on to meet either Switzerland or the United States in the quarterfinals. The US currently up 2 rubbers to love in that tie and 2 sets up in the doubles. New South Wales won the Sheffield Shield match against Victoria at the MCG by an innings and 77 runs. Meantime, today, game 3 of the Chapel Hadley one-day series, Australia versus New Zealand. The match starting at 2 o'clock Sydney time in Hamilton. And Sergio Garcia leads the Dubai Desert Classic after the third round. He's at 16 under par. He leads by 3 shots. Henrik Stenson outright second. Ian Poulter is in third spot at minus 11. Just quickly, boys, a couple of things that you need to know before you sit down and watch the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Yes.
The commentators. If you're sitting there watching, thinking, oh, who's commentating this? It's Joe Buck.
Hey,
and
Joe Buck.
Troy Aikman. He's an ex-player you mentioned, right?
Dallas Cowboys.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think he won two in the 92-94 with Dallas Cowboys.
On the sideline, we have Aaron Andrews and Chris Meyer. Now, the national anthem will be sung by country star Luke Bryan. At his press conference said that he isn't sure how he's going to play it out yet. But how many ways are there to sing the national anthem?
No, there is a way.
There is.
There's the normal way to do it, and then there's the way Roseanne Hardin.
at the baseball, yeah.
Exactly.
He said he's going to go out there, follow his heart, and follow the vibe in the room. Now, that's an almighty room, isn't it, that one? The coin toss will be done by President George W. Bush and his wife, Barbara. Right. They're both proud Texans.
Yeah.
As the matches in Houston.
How old would George W?
Well, George only just came out of hospital. He didn't attend the inauguration last week or the other week because he wasn't well.
Like a lot of other people couldn't attend.
Yes, indeed. The halftime entertainment will be by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Who says that she's been ready for this moment since she was 4. And that's where she's supposed to be.
She didn't say that, did she?
She did. Of course she did. Let's hope she doesn't stuff it up. And also the commercials we look forward to. And the theme there is Audi, Buick and Ford. So it looks like the car companies are really the only ones that can afford the $5 million it costs for a 30-second spot.
Now, who did I see were Super Bowling ads for the first time? Was it... Oh!
An Australian company?
Yellowtail.
Yeah. That's right.
Yellowtail Wines.
Yeah,
Yellowtail Wines were there. So they got a campaign.
Start 10:30.
Okay, all right, look forward to that. And we'll get an understanding of who's going to win it from Dick Fane a little bit later on as well. Super Bowl 51, Atlanta Falcons taking on Bill Belichick, Tom Brady-led New England Patriots. 13:53:53
is the
open line number. Oh, I'll go... Well,
someone different win?
I'm
like to see New England win.
I'm a New York Giants fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, so I don't really... I appreciate New England.
Yeah, good way to put it.
They're a very
good
side.
Someone different win the Falcons. As long as it's not a blowout, Jim. As long as it's a good contest.
I tell you what, there could be a lot of points. Falcons are a really high-scoring team. So, and as I was saying earlier, Matt Ryan has put together an unbelievable team. So there you go. Hi, boys. Good on Todd Greenberg. This is an SMS that's coming. We haven't covered across this. Good on Todd Greenberg. The Sharks tried to get Ben Barber through on a shady reduced contract. If they were so concerned for him, as Lyle Gorman said, they wouldn't have sacked him. Phil the Dragon. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this situation. I'll look at it from this point of view. Ben Barber, in my mind, going to France is the worst possible thing that could happen for Ben Barber off the field. Mm-hmm. On the field, he might be getting paid $2.5 million for 2.5 years of footy, which is fantastic for Ben. Because even though he's been paid well over the course of his NRL career, apparently he hasn't got a lot of money for any number of reasons. Yep. But I just think if he can't stay on the straight and narrow in the Shire with all the support services that are available to him across the NRL and the Cronulla Sharks, how on earth is he going to do it at France?
He'd be in trouble over there.
Can you imagine the welfare officers looking after Ben Barber at Toulon?
And will he suit the game?
Well, interesting to see Craig Wince come out today and said, yeah, no, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. So, but, you know, I just think the worst possible thing for him. I know what they did. I know how they reduced the contract, and it wasn't the Broncos paying for much of it anymore, and they were trying to help him out, but I'm telling you, I applaud the stand of the NRL in making him serve out a 12-week suspension, no matter when he came back to the league.
No brainer.
The other thing about that, hey, did you get the clarification on the shoulder charge? Did you see that?
The change of separation rule.
Did you get the clarification on it?
I'm more confused than ever.
So I'm with you, Roman. I think they got that horribly wrong. 13:53:53.
Here's your chance to enjoy a night at the races in the company of a host of sporting stars. Susie Moroney, Teresa Pelias, Molly Gray, Sporting Sisters Abby and Carly McCulloch are just some of the special guests attending this fabulous Women in Sport function, hosted by our very own Jamie Rogers. Speakers, fashions, lucky prizes, three-course dinner, drinks and more from 6 p.m. Friday, February 17 at Canterbury Racecourse. Get a group together and book now at heartbeaterfootball.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus they have vanities, toilet suites, basins and freestanding and drop-in bars and so much more. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
The Kentucky Derby, right? should be on every punter's bucket list.
Correct.
You ever been?
Not to the Derby, as they call it in America.
Yeah, the Derby.
Been to Churchill Downs, yes.
Right. Greg Radley invites you to join him on Ambassador Travel's 2017 Kentucky Derby Tour. You'll spend 2 days in Los Angeles. That's fantastic. Get out to the markets there. Las Vegas.
Outstanding.
2 days is enough there.
That's more than enough, yeah.
Then on to Lexington, set in the famous bluegrass of Kentucky.
Beautiful.
The most exciting 2 minutes on the North American racing calendar. Ambassador Travel will look after you every step of the way. They do a great job. I've been to Hong Kong with Ambassador Travel. They're fantastic. Pete and the team there. This year's Kentucky Derby is Saturday, May 6th. So go to the website, ambassadortravel.com.au today. That's ambassadortravel.com.au or give them a call, 1-800-777-989.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. And that ODI at Hamilton has commenced over there.
Well, they've changes to the quite team started.
In 20 minutes'
started.
Time,
they've,
yeah.
They've won the toss and elected
couple
to bat, haven't they,
the
New Zealand?
Australian team. Your man Hazlitt's been dropped.
No, Hazlewood's there. Hazlewood's there. Yeah. That's the squad.
Zampa's in for Hazlitt, yeah.
We believe Zampa is playing for Hazlitt, so that's not like for like. I don't know.
Mm. We haven't mentioned Marcus Stoinis' innings last Monday.
Oh.
That was his.
I was doing a bit of work, and then I was just getting this stuff across Twitter, and I thought, I might flick this on.
It was incredible.
So more like Keith Miller than Keith Miller.
Yeah, I
picked up the little,
it was good line,
little threefer, and then scores 146
off 117 balls. And he was going running a ball until his 70s, and he accelerated unbelievably.
And he was hitting sixes for fun.
Mm.
Just incredible. I know Eden Park's not the biggest ground in the world, but you still got to hit him, and he did that. Yellowtail isn't a good wine. That's Anne at Lavington. And each to their own. And by the way, they sell it by the bucketful in the United States. It makes up, I was reading this the other day, it makes up like 20% of total Australian wine sales in the US, just this one brand. It's huge.
So what's it cost for the Super Bowl? I had 5 million. Is that what Tanya said?
Oh, I think it's about three. Is it 3 million? 3 million for 30 seconds? Something like that.
Incredible. So they must be going all right. But
yeah, exactly. So good on them, Yellowtail. The media can talk women's sport up all it likes, but if it's supposedly about entertainment, then I suggest punters pop down their local park and watch the under-16 local boys play, whether it be soccer, cricket or AFL, because it will be a fair bit better game to watch. Politically incorrect, but spot on. Dave from Cronulla. Well, each to your own, Dave. I've got to say, the women's sevens, the women's nines,
good to watch.
I find that really entertaining.
Good to watch, yeah.
They've got good skill set and the intent is there.
And you like the Big Bash? Women's Big Bash, you watch a few of those games.
Yeah, I do. I've got to say, they just don't have the strength to hit the ball. Like,
that's fair enough.
The Scorchers were there, they needed to run a ball in that final against the Sixers, and I thought, oh, they're gone here, the Sixers. Mm. They couldn't get them. Good bowling, obviously, but couldn't get them. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to callers there. Michael. G'day, Michael.
How you going, lads?
Yeah, really well.
I just driving home after a disappointing loss from the Kings last night. Thanks to both of you, but I'll start with a bit of basketball. This bloke is undoubtedly the GOAT of all time with basketball, but when Jordan came back to the Wizards, he just didn't put on the court. So probably went on a little bit too long with that one.
He was about 40 years old, was he, Michael, when he made the comeback?
Yeah.
So he was 40. Yeah. So, he came back twice and lost his second one with three championships. was brilliant. But, so in the same old mate who fought Quade Cooper the other night.
Oh.
He took it up to Moose High.
Yeah, and that was pretty sad. Yeah.
And I'm a Tigers man, so JC probably should have retired before he started his coaching career. We should have kept Mick Potter.
Yeah, Jimmy, Mick Potter. I tell you what, Mick Potter was hard done by, wasn't he? To think about all that. It's going to be the Tigers are out. They're not going to make the finals or the quarterfinals of the nines.
That's a good call.
Good on
Michael.
You, Michael.
Good
Thanks,
call.
Michael. We appreciate that.
Michael's in the running for a prize. Good call.
It is a good prize. So run that prize by me again, Raymond.
Two tickets, entrance and members to Randwick next Saturday, Apollo Stakes Day, which marks the return of
Winx.
And plus, we'll throw in, Jimmy, this DVD.
Yeah, we've already thrown that in.
Also for Prakash, and that's right, sorry.
We can't
forget that.
We've only got one.
Two tickets is enough. Two tickets
exactly.
are enough.
Exactly. What more could they want? Just to let you know, Bulldogs, Sharks, Rabbitohs, Dragons, Warriors and the Tigers all out of the running for the Auckland Nines now. Definitely through to the quarterfinals. The Broncos, the Titans, Manly, the Cowboys, super impressive. Mm. The Eels, super impressive. And the Panthers, very impressive.
Very impressive. So who's your tip again, Jim?
Oh, I'd love to see Cowboys-Eels final. Cowboys-Eels final.
Just a quick one.
Yeah, and sorry, Raiders, Storm, Knights, Roosters have to win today to get through.
Okay, that's a quick one. Jordan, borderline ordinary or borderline good. Averaged just over 20 points a game those last 3 years.
What was his career average, though? Would have been well down on his career average.
In the 30s, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mm. What about this season that James Harden's putting together?
Oh,
have you seen him? The NBA, the beard? Fear the beard?
Yeah. Fear the beard, I love it.
I know he's not getting as many triple-doubles as Russell Westbrook, but he's just doing incredible things.
Exactly.
He scored 50 points.
Brilliant. Here's a quick one from Cheers from Manly Manel. Morning, boys. You have to mention Timothy Sue, Kostya Sue's son. He was outstanding in and out of the ring.
Yes,
he was. The highlight of the night. Lowlight was Quade Cooper's opponent, the son of Butterbean. It was a poor matchup. It certainly was Manly Manel. Timothy Sue got a lot of his old man in him, hasn't he?
Oh, how much. Mm. He looks so much like him. So it's just incredible. So, and don't worry, has serious talent as well.
Oh.
So...
Brilliant to watch. Yeah.
Definitely one to watch. Another Australian boxer on the rise, just like our very own Jeff Horn, who we've adopted here too.
He's a superstar.
Can't wait to see him play. Dick Fane next.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
To give this some sort of perspective, Ray, we were talking about the highest rated television event from a sports perspective in Australia, in its history. And that was 2005, Australian Open Final, Marat Safin versus Leighton Hewitt. 4.1 million people.
Yep.
The Super Bowl will attract about 110 million viewers in the US, alone.
What about worldwide?
Which is equivalent to, say, 8 million people watching a sporting event in Australia. And it happens every year. The man to cover it all is our man, Dick Fane, from Radio KJR over there in Seattle. He's going to tell us who's going to win and by how many. G'day, Dick.
No pressure, huh?
Exactly. It is an interesting matchup, isn't it? Atlanta never won a Super Bowl, been there once before against this storied franchise, New England, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Where is America placing its support in this one?
Well, I think it depends on if you're the public or if it depends on if you're the sharp prognosticators, the wise guys, as it were. I think the general public realizes that the New England Patriots are you know, almost unbeatable against the spread this year. They are an amazing 15-3 against the point spread this year. I mean, you could have made a lot of money simply just going to Vegas and put every single week just putting your dimes on the New England Patriots. They're a public side. The Patriots are always going to have the public side of the money, and that seems to be where it is. But then, you know, I think that the professional prognosticators, the professional handicappers, see that 3 points. They feel like Atlanta is every bit as good as New England, and probably is a heads up as good a team, so they say, well, we're going to take, if you're going to give me 3 points, and I think Atlanta's just as good as New England, I'm going to take the 3 points. So your sharps are on the Falcons, and your public is on New England.
Yeah, fascinating matchup, isn't it, Dick? Dick, if the Patriots win and Tom Brady secures a fifth Super Bowl, does that make him the greatest quarterback of all time?
I think it probably does. I think he's right there at or near the top right now. I think a fifth Super Bowl, which would eclipse all records, would eclipse Terry Bradshaw, would eclipse Joe Montana. I think that would probably put him up there as number one. And he's done it for such a length of time. I mean, we're talking 17 years here since his first Super Bowl. And, you know, this is a great matchup, not only because it's the number one offense in Atlanta against the number one defense in New England, but it's also, as you alluded to at the beginning here, it is the pedigree of the New England Patriots. Mm. It is their seventh trip under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, whereas it's the first trip for young coach Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, almost none of the Atlanta Falcons have ever played in a Super Bowl before. Most of the New England Patriots were on the field 2 years ago when I was in Arizona and unfortunately watching my Seahawks decide to throw a pass from the 1 yard line instead of just giving it to Marshawn Lynch, would have solidified their second straight Super Bowl championship.
Mm. I'm glad you've been able to forget that one. I'm sure Pete Carroll appreciates it too.
I'll never forget that one as long as I live, guys. I was sitting at the 45 yard line watching that.
All right, Dick. Bill Belichick. Mm. You know, there's so many moving parts to an NFL franchise. It's very hard to get your head around what the role of head coach must have to take on. What makes him have this outstanding record at that level?
I think part of it is what makes him so great is also what makes him so boring to listen to. You will not hear a more boring head coach in a press conference than Bill Belichick, but
right.
he is truly robotic.
Right.
And that pays off when you have stressful situations. Like, for example, the Seahawks coach, Pete Carroll, is very interesting to listen to. He gets his highs are highs. His lows aren't very lows, but his highs are highs. He has a tendency to freak out at times and kind of go away and from play calls that need to be called. I still love Pete Carroll. I think he's a great coach. But what makes Bill Belichick so special is he just always sticks to the script. It doesn't matter if things are going well. Doesn't matter if things are going poorly. He is just a robot. He never has emotional ups and emotional downs during a game. And I think that is going to be to his service tomorrow, because it's going to be a hard time for Dan Quinn, who came from the Pete Carroll system where the highs get really high and then maybe the lows come down a little bit. It's going to be hard for Dan Quinn to kind of maintain that even keel like Bill Belichick is always going to be able to do when the situation gets tight.
The clash of the quarterbacks fascinates me. Dick, obviously, a lot of focus on Tom Brady, and as you mentioned, he could very well be rated the best of all time if he win a fifth Super Bowl. But Matt Ryan's had a fantastic season for the Falcons. Statistically, he'd be the best quarterback in the NFL this season. And the Falcons' attack, so potent. Can they break down the Patriots' defense?
They can. There's no question. They've been able to break just about everybody else's defense down this year. The question is... are they going to be able to punch the ball in? I think they're going to be able to move the ball against New England between the 20s. But then New England's defense really steps up in the red zone, and it's hard to score touchdowns on them. So it's going to be interesting to see. Matt Ryan's going to have plenty of yards tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if he's well over 300 yards passing tomorrow. He's going to move the ball. They're going to look at times like they're really rolling. The question is, if Atlanta can only kick field goals and only gets maybe two touchdowns and a plethora of field goals, that's not going to be enough. Atlanta is going to have to score at the minimum three, maybe four touchdowns in this game in order to win. And New England just doesn't typically give up three or four touchdowns in games. So watch the red zone Falcons offense. That's obviously inside the 20-yard line. Against the red zone Patriots defense is really a pivotal key to the game.
Will Matt Ryan win the NFL MVP?
I think he probably will. I might give it to Tom Brady, even though that he's only played 12 games. I think Tom Brady's 12 games has been better than anybody else's 12 games. But I understand that Brady is Brady was suspended for the first four games of the season for the Deflategate situation.
Yeah.
So. Matt Ryan has been consistent all season long, and I wouldn't have any problem whatsoever seeing Matt Ryan win the MVP award.
Hey, Dick, could we put you on the spot?
Come on.
I can hint from your answers. I think I know the answer to this question, but who wins Super Bowl 51?
It's hard for me to go against the Patriots, guys. As much as I hate to say it, I'm not a Patriots fan in the least. In fact, I think the Patriots are probably my least favorite team in all the NFL. I never cheer for the New England Patriots, but... when you're handicapping, you have to separate your emotions from what you see. And what I see is a New England defense that I think is a little bit underrated. I think that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady certainly have the experience and the poise advantage over Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn. I think it's going to be a really close game. And what I told your guys on the TV side, when I did the handicapping show, is I really see New England trying to control the clock on offense and keep Atlanta's quick strike potent offense off the field. I think New England will be able to do that, because keep in mind, Atlanta is a bottom third defense in the NFL. Now, they've played better over the last 6 weeks, but still the numbers indicate they are a bottom third defense. They're a bottom third defense against the pass. They're a bottom third defense against the run. So I think New England is going to be able to move the chains, give the ball to LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis in the run game, just get 4 or 5 yards at a time and be very content being methodical and taking 8, 9, 10 yards per drive. That's why I like New England, but I wouldn't put a ton of money on the Patriots. I would kind of wait and put my money on I think the under is going to come through. I think this this is the highest point spread the highest total we have ever seen in the history of the Super Bowl, and rightfully so. They're great offenses, but I think the defense for the Patriots will do enough. I'm looking at about a 27-24 type game. So obviously I'm not strong on the Patriots minus the three because I think the number's about right. I think the Patriots should be favored by about 3 points. One nugget I'll give you, though, that has been very interesting. The one thing we can look at the Patriots that we can't look at any other team, and that's Super Bowl trends. No other team has played in enough Super Bowls to get any trends, get any feeling for what they're going to. The Patriots have now, this is their seventh under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, so you can look at the other games in the Super Bowl and see what kind of style did they play. They have kept these potent offenses off the field. They held the Rams in 2000 to just 17 points when that team was coming in scoring 34 a game. And they have allowed only 9 first quarter points total in the first 6 Super Bowls. More importantly than that, they've scored 0 first quarter points. So I love the first quarter being the lowest scoring quarter. I love the first half being the lowest scoring half. That was, in fact, the best bet that I gave to the guys, to the punt guys.
It's going to be huge. It's obviously massive over there. It's going to be very big over here in Australia as well. Hey, Dick, we really appreciate your time, mate. Enjoy the game, and we'll look forward to speaking in the future.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks,
Dick. Dick Fain from Radio KGR Seattle, New England. $1.65, Atlanta $2.25. The spread is 3. He doesn't really like that, or the line, as we call it. Tom Brady is a $1.80 favourite to be the MVP. Matt Ryan at $2.75, and then you get out to Julio Jones at $13. But the unders here, under 55.5 points, he liked 51-point game. Under 55.5 points is $2.15. So maybe that's something you could follow with Dick there as well. We better take a break. We'll be back to finish things up here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sky Sports Radio has Greyhound Racing covered.
Shimabar moved up, struck the lead, coming away. Shimabar will win the pools.
Every Monday morning at 10:30, Going Greyhounds has the lowdown on feature racing, race club officials, and the all-important winners.
Going Greyhounds on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
We're getting ready. Gonna look out west. Everyone's on their way.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The country championships are coming to Grafton.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's more than horses and fashion. It's a cool, hip place to play. So come on, get in, get down, see the big horses around.
The championships, Grafton, Sunday, February 12th.
Mum, remember maths wasn't my best subject at school.
Nothing was.
Yeah, let's stick with maths. It seems someone's over-ordered notebooks and tablets and lots more from brands like Apple, Samsung, Asus, Logitech and Microsoft.
I know.
How do you know?
I'm your mother. What are you going to do?
Back to school specials.
Lanos back to school specials? I like it.
That sounds like I'm going back to school.
Well, you need to.
Bingley's back to school, uni and work specials.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just about wrapping things up here, Raymond. Run through those three tips because you're in great form. Run through those three tips that you've got there for Mudgee and for the Sapphire Coast.
Okay, well, Sapphire Coast first, Jimmy. Race 1, number 3, Snippet of Hope. Down to race 3, number 3, Tipta 10 TV. And Mudgee, so each way special of the day, was race 5, number 2, Mock Wayo.
There you go. People giving their say here about Jay Field. Bay Hunt is saying on Twitter, start him in the Charity Shield, hashtag go for it, in relation to Jay Field. So I think all he's done yesterday is confirm the skills that we knew he had, and that is
score points.
lightning speed, the ability to get on the outside of people and really make other defenders nervous. But there you go. That's another one. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. Thinking about today's talk topic, what I would think would be a great 1 week would be a sports people I'd love to have seen more of. For example, the Don. Well, he played till he was 40.
Yeah, World War II interrupted.
Yeah. Well, that might be the point they're making there. Reg Gasnier, retired age 28.
His knee blew out.
Regulation operation these days.
Back then it was career ending.
Yeah. Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah, retired too young and took a couple of years off too, mid-career.
He started at Hawthorn, didn't he?
Yes, and then went to Geelong and then went to chase God for a while and then came back.
Did he catch God?
I don't know. George Moore.
Yeah, what about George Moore? Is that...
He went overseas for a long time.
Okay.
So, just a thought. That's a good one.
Just a thought. Fine, cloudy, and a 28 degrees in Naruma. That's smacker. Naruma? Are you in Naruma, smacker? I've got fond memories of Naruma. We used to
beautiful
take our family holidays there for about 10 years down at Naruma, two weeks every year. Malcolm Johnson, too, was another one that was mentioned. Like to see more of him. We like to see less of him here on a Sunday. He stole all the biscuits.
Good man.
Stole all the biscuits. Now, Smackers at Naruma, which is a long way from Royal Randwick, but you need to find a winner of your great prize today.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Or Michael's Call.
Michael's Call. All right. Well, why don't we...
I'll let you decide.
Why don't we say, Smacker, if you're coming to Sydney, can we give you two tickets? Is that...
Fair enough.
Does it have to be for next week? Or this coming week?
Well, yes.
Yes, it does. Right. Tanya's nodding.
Yeah. We had a slight issue last week with that.
Tanya's boss lady but today, so...
It's worth Smacker coming from Naruma, because it's Winks next Saturday.
It is, All right. Smacker, is there a train from Naruma? You get on the Thelston Pain. Maybe make your way up. Oh, by the way, they're going over there in... start 9 o'clock for the ODI.
About to start very shortly.
Yeah. About to start very
shortly. What's your bet for the day, Jim?
I'm going to go for the Aussies, $1.62, that one.
Okay, yeah. Marcus Stoinis, go your good thing.
Martin Guptill's out.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
You know what? Go the Falcons in the Super Bowl. The underdogs.
Oh, yeah.
Something different.
The wrap coming up next. I know Chrissy Lees will be on the program as well, so...